Radio Hub. IDXers, welcome to the July 2006 Market Scope, where we continue dialing the local channels on the FM band from our home base in Upper Sandusky, Ohio. Our first stop is 95.3 WKTN in Kenton, Ohio, which has been a community-oriented pop music station for over 30 years.
Fleetwood Mac, and you can go your own way at 11:45 as long as your own way is into a commercial break and then back for a complete check of the forecast. We're going to do that in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. For a check of the weather now from the National Weather Service, brought to you by Dan King Plumbing and Heating of Kenton. Partly cloudy, highs both days in the mid-60s and lows in the mid-40s. Check of the weather brought to you by Dan King Plumbing and Heating of Kenton. Currently 63 at WKTN.
Another summer back home.
At home, at work, or in your car. The best variety from yesterday and today is on 95.3 WKTN. Absolutely, positively, more variety. From 95.3 WKTN. This is WKTN Kenton.
Good afternoon. Straight up 12 noon. I'm Dennis Beverly, WKTN News. Partly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms 50-50 during the afternoon. From the evening until about midnight, expect an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Complete check of that forecast coming up on WKTN's 12 o'clock noon report.
95 WKTN. Weekends are magic. Magic 95.9.
Tack it up, tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
Magic 95.9, WYNT, Upper Sandusky, Marion, and Bucyrus. For good times and great oldies, it's Magic 95.9. For good times and great oldies, it's Magic 95.9.
Makes me feel young again.
It does.
Fun to listen to.
You tingle inside.
The station that just makes you feel good.
I feel good.
Magic 95.9.
Just incredible.
Yeah, one of these days we'll teach them how to use them.
They play a lot of music. There's not a whole lot of talk.
Good times, great oldies. Magic 95.9.
Magic 95.9.
Magic 95.9.
I'm Tom Cutler. Here's what's happening.
Magic weather.
Partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the mid-60s. Becoming mostly cloudy tomorrow with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the lower 80s. And a partly cloudy tomorrow night with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. A low in the lower 60s.
It's 87 at your home for good times and great oldies.
Magic 95.9.
WPVI Foster Oreo.
Love it.
Finley's Mix.
Mix 96.7.
Lots of variety.
It's the best mix of the 80s, 90s, and today.
Mix 96.7.
Message, Pastor Doug McKinney.
his sleeves. He ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God.
Finley's best music mix is on
WBVI.
Fostoria, Finley.
You're in the mix.
Mix 96.7.
The best mix of the 80s, the 90s,
and today.
They're the only one I listen to.
You're on the mix.
Finley's mix
96.7.
Finley's Mix 96.7. On an anything goes weekend, which means lots of variety. And we got a song right here. It's Sheena Easton and Strut. The phone number 1-800-595-7525.
Hello.
Welcome.
24 hours a day. 7 days a week. 365 days a year.
In paradise.
We always give you more of what you love.
Variety.
It's a great station.
I'm really into it.
The best mix of the 80s, 90s, and today.
Finley's Mix.
I'll never change the channel.
Finley's Mix, 96.7.
New Stress Tabs Energy Formula has a unique tri-amino blend plus essential vitamins, nutrition for your good health, extra energy for your active life. Stress Tabs Energy.
On your radio, it's 96.7.
On your computer, it's WBVI.com.
Mix 96.7.
Positive and encouraging, Caleb. When is the last time you took your family on vacation? I know, Dads, this is your day today, but maybe you need to think about the family and take them on a really great family vacation. That would be our Friends and Family Music Cruise. They're headed for the Grand Turks in the Caribbean later on in January. If you'd like more information about it, you can go to KLOVE.com and find out everything you ever wanted to know. It's a great family trip, and you'll meet a lot of great people there as well. Here's Rich Mullins, calling out your name.
Positive, encouraging,
Caleb. I'm calling from France. Your radio is really great, and I'm so happy to listen to it on the internet.
I'm calling from Mexico City. Indeed, it's a blessing, Caleb, and God bless the technology when it's used with the right motivation and purposes.
I'm calling from Hilo, Hawaii, and I just wanted to praise the Lord for your station. It has really helped my spiritual growth. God bless, and aloha.
Positive, encouraging, Caleb.
Positive and encouraging, Caleb. David Crowder of the band, Holy Yules.
Positive, encouraging K-Love, with more music every hour at 98.7 WYKL, Crestline, Mansfield, and reaching around the world on K-Love.com.
From Flag City, USA. Classic hits, 100.5 WKXA Finley.
I'll do it as fast as possible.
A marathon of classic hits continues, so crank it up. Classic hits, 100.5 WKXA.
The Moody Blues, Knights in White Satin on Classic Hits, 100.5 WKXA. We also heard Kiss and Rock and Roll All Night. Good morning. John Mellencamp is on the way. Here's Rod Stewart continuing our marathon of Classic Hits with Forever Young on WKXA.
We're always on the job for you.
I got the radio on.
Classic Hits, 100.5 WKXA. Turn us on and sing along.
No, no, you were lying when you said that you love me.
Classic Hits, 100.5 WKXA.
We will continue up the FM dial next month on Market Scope. Remember, if you'd like to submit a Market Scope, send it to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio 43351, 1652. I could really use some new material, plus the DX Audio Service membership would be most appreciative.
National Radio Club.
Time now for our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you would like to muse, give us a call at area code 360-469-0189 for DX Audio Service members only. Let's go over to Watertown, Massachusetts, and Lucille.
Hello, DX Audio Service members and Fred. I have a question. This is Lucille Burcott from Watertown, Massachusetts, and the question is, what is meant when you say U1, U4, and so on in regards to radio station power? And the other thing I have, as far as my worst favorite song, I have to say Mrs. Miller's version of Downtown, and also, if I can fit another one in here, Hanky Panky by Tommy James and the Shondells.
Hi, this is John Jim of Elmira Heights. Does anybody know anything about Akron, Ohio as of to date? I cannot get it at night. Probably the EHH, which is 1600, has night pattern, and it really messes things up unless you get it way after midnight. The only thing is it doesn't, I cannot hardly tell if I'm getting the AKR or not.
This is Tim Hendel. I want to thank Mark Durenberger for his 2 millivolt explanation. This applies to me because I'm just on the edge of the 2 millivolt, 100 miles from WSM. And what that means in the real world is a good signal on the super radio, a poor signal on a crummy radio. Going to 500 kilowatts would increase the range from 108 to 166 miles. May not seem like much, but I did the math for the area of that circle, and I went from 36,000 to 80,000 square miles, and 100,000 square miles if you increase it to 750 kilowatts. Could you please do the same thing now for a non-directional signal of 20, 10, 5, and 3 watts, so we get an idea how far these real, real low powers that some stations are using at night could be expected to go, the 2 millivolt rule. Take 650 and then maybe take a higher frequency like 1100. You remember the switch in Nashville where big band WAMB went from 1160 to 1200? 1160 became bot broadcasting and Spanish was gone. Well, now the call WKDA and Spanish programming is on 900, which I think is the station licensed to Lebanon, Tennessee, which is a Nashville suburb. I don't know how good the signal is in downtown Nashville or in the Hispanic Latino speaking areas, but I was able to observe it here in Huntsville, and so now 900 Spanish is WKDA in the Nashville area.
Hi, this is Mike Lance. I received the DX Audio Service on June 2nd, which was my birthday. A few quick things. Number one, to Jerry Gabrielli, that song is by Vicky Carr. And the second thing is, I received some tapes from a friend of mine of the WABC special that they run every year, and it was great. I loved it. It's just too bad that WABC dropped their music format in the first place and went to talk radio, because they were really a good music radio station. I especially enjoyed Dan Ingram, Cousin Brucey, Chuck Leonard was great, Bob Lewis, and there was one guy, Howard Hoffman was great. Where's Howard Hoffman now, and whatever happened to Dan Ingram? What is he doing now? I listened to the article by Ken Honest, the first part of the article about WVON in Chicago. Great article, and I wonder what's going to happen with WCEV. I wonder what they're going to do. I've heard both of those radio stations in the Chicago area, and we have a new Black Talk radio station down here in Miami. Used to be WVCG, now it's WTP S, the People's Station, and it's 1080 on the dial. 1400 WFLL has dropped the sports programming, and they have taken over where 1580 was in Fort Lauderdale, which was known as Mystic 1580. They are now known as Mystic 1400, South Florida's Caribbean voice.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, our local station CKPC 1380 for the third time is trying to go to 25,000 watts from 10,000 watts. They could have done it in 1979 and decided the starting costs were too high. They could have done it again in 1990 and they backed up again. But this time, I think they'll go ahead and do it if they get the grant, because I think that maybe they want to sell the station. It's been in the same family for an awful long time, and the fellow that's got it now is kind of on in years. The Boston Red Sox have just signed a brand new $200 million radio contract. I don't know whether that's to stay with WEEI or another station will take over next year. There's been so many changes in recent years because of big money flowing around, like in Detroit, Atlanta, and St. Louis as primary examples. I just went to Meridian, Mississippi last month, and the call letters of WCLU have resurfaced again on FM over in western Kentucky. I think they're playing country music. When it was Covington, Kentucky, I was doing some part-time work for them in the 70s, and it was country on 1320 all day. So I think they might be under WCVG, but they are playing country music. The station in Livingston, Alabama, that was serving Meridian with the country classics, has gone to a black gospel format, WLYS on 670. They have some odd hours. They're not long on the air anyway, about 7 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon.
Hello, DXers. This is Herbert Newberry calling from Milledgeville, Georgia, where today, June the 20th, it is a pleasant 103 degrees outside. Several short items for your interest. Number one, on 1690, WWAA in Avondale Estates has dropped Air America Network, but has kept Al Franken, and they have gone to a music format, an eclectic variety of everything from rock and roll, Beatles, to Elvis Presley, to Johnny Cash, to Irish drinking songs, and opera. So if you have a musical taste, you'll probably find it there. Item number two, 1430 in Covington, Georgia, WGFS has added some Spanish broadcasting to its, some Spanish programming to its day. And also in connection with WWAA in Avondale Estates, the city of license changed after the log went to press. So if you look in your log and you see Adel, Georgia, it should be Avondale Estates, which is east of Atlanta to the east of Decatur.
Hello, everyone there on DX Audio Service. Dale Ham calling this month from Kansas City, Missouri. I've been here in Kansas City, Missouri since January. There's a member or two I used to correspond with that liked hair checks from some of the FM adult contemporary stations, so can't remember her name over in New York, or anyone's interested in anything like this. I can do hours and hours of it and condense it down to several minutes. Contact me either through directory assistance in Kansas City, or if you know how to get in touch with me, just muse me here through this service. And if you're interested, I'll help you get some ACC or whatever you're looking for there. Thanks.
Hello, fellow DXers. This is Matt Overstreet with a slight station change. For those of you that listen in the Milwaukee area, you now know that since 2004, since WLTQ changed formats, we did lose Delilah. However, starting next week, 99.1 WMYX-FM, which is an adult contemporary station, will be picking her up starting on Monday.
Mark Dernberger in the Musings Control Room to finally answer Tim Hendel's question of several months ago regarding the potential coverage of AM Superpower. Tim, thanks for your patience. In return, I have some terribly accurate information taken from current computer modeling of the situation. The signal strength of an AM station that will produce pretty reliable coverage is known as the 2 millivolt contour. That's a theoretical circle or a shape drawn out around the tower in all directions, and within which the signal is 2 millivolts or greater in strength. For a 50-kilowatt station on 650 kilohertz, in this case WSM, the 2 millivolt contour will reach 108 miles from the tower. If you increase power now to 500 kilowatts, that 2 millivolt signal distance increases to 166 miles from the tower. So that's an increase of about 58 miles, all other things being equal. Now, don't let me throw math at you. I already have a headache, but please note that going from 50 kilowatts to 500 is, of course, a tenfold increase in power. And yet, there's a much smaller increase in distance. That happens because the effect of power change on the signal strength is not linear, as we have discussed previously on the DX Audio Service. To further illustrate, if we increase power now to 750,000 watts, we move the 2 millivolt contour only another 13 miles, and we've gone to 179 miles from the tower. To apply this to WSM in your original question, at 50 kilowatts, WSM's 2 millivolt contour falls at about the Tennessee-Alabama state line. At 500 kilowatts, that signal contour reaches just past Warrior, Alabama, just south of you there. And at 750,000 watts, the contour would stop just north of Birmingham. Well, I hope that definitively answers your question, Tim, and thanks again for your patience. Mark Dernberger from Musings and the DX Audio Service.
Fred, just to answer Mike Lant's inquiry, Dan Ingram, I believe, is semi-retired in the New York area. He recently made headlines in the broadcast publications when he dropped an F-bomb in an interview on WABC's Rewound program. He was discussing a lawsuit involving another DJ who stole his name, and he got a little bit worked up. It's the first time in almost 50 years on the air that he let that one slip. Howard Hoffman is running his own voiceover company in California. He's recently done work for clients such as Budweiser and Fox TV. That's about all I know on him. So he does have a website on the internet if you want some more information. I don't think he's doing any radio station imaging or anything like that, but I'm really not sure it's not up on the website. So that's the latest word on those two guys, Fred.
I have a special item here, especially for Lucille Burkhart, who called in on the Muse line and asked about the letter number designations you hear us use when reporting stations' facilities. The letters, a D, a U, and sometimes but rarely an N, an L, or ST, paired with a number, designates the station's operating hours and its antenna pattern status. A D means daytime, an N means nighttime, an L means limited time, of which there are only a couple of those left. An ST means shared time, meaning two separate stations in the same city on the same frequency share time on the air. The 1240 frequency in Decorah, Iowa is one of only a couple of these situations left in the U.S. And finally, the one we hear probably 99% of the time nowadays is the letter U, which stands for Unlimited Time Operation. The numbers that follow the letter designate one of 25 different combinations of a station's antenna pattern status. Now, I might add that these letter number combinations are a National Radio Club invention, we'll call it, but they've been widely accepted and used in the DX community. The FCC has its own set of identifiers, but they don't cover all the combinations like we do. Let's first look at stations that broadcast during the daytime only. That group of stations is getting smaller in number all the time, but there are still quite a few. Since they are daytimers, their letter is D. If they are non-directional, their number is 1, so we end up with D1. If they use a directional pattern, their number is 3, or D3. Wait, what happened to 2? Well, we didn't forget it, and we'll get to that in a minute or two. The time right after sunrise in the morning and before sunset in the evening is a very critical time for medium-wave signals. The ionosphere is in transition in the morning, can't decide whether to bounce that radio wave back to Earth as it's been doing all night, or to absorb it as its properties allow when the sun hits it. The same thing happens in the afternoon, only in reverse. The mix of unpredictable sky wave with the ground wave signal of a station means that interference to other stations is possible. This is of particular concern when the stations involved cover wide areas, where it may be daylight in one segment and approaching dark in another. So the FCC established two periods during this skywave-ground wave mix time, in the morning from local sunrise until 2 hours after local sunrise, and in the evening from 2 hours before local sunset until local sunset. This is where the term critical hours, or as we abbreviate it, CH, comes into play in our discussions. Most unlimited time stations operate with more power during the day than at night, so even though they are authorized to operate at their daytime power, they may cause interference to other stations on the same frequency during these transition periods. Well, not all stations have to worry about critical hours. Generally, it's only stations which are doing some kind of upgrade in power or brand new station being authorized where the FCC may apply a critical hours authorization. Some daytimers also have CH authorizations. Now, take a deep breath and stay with us. 20 or 25 years ago, all stations were only authorized to operate with powers in steps which were nice and even, like 250, 500, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 25,000, and 50,000 watts. And there were hundreds and hundreds of stations that were daytimers. So let's say a daytime station with 500 watts wants to raise its power, but the next step is 1,000 watts. If they were to jump to the next level, 1,000 watts, chances are they would cause interference to another station. That's why they were limited to 500 in the first place. But if they could raise their power to, say, 742 watts without interfering, that would give them a better local signal. So through the years, the FCC has changed the rules and made it possible to have a power level of almost any quantity as long as the equipment is set up in such a way to keep it stable. Older transmitters were factory-built to be 1,000 watts or 5,000 watts or whatever, but newer transmitters are capable of maintaining power settings between those old steps to just about any level needed. So now, stations can be authorized power levels as high as possible, falling just short of interfering with others, such interference calculated for normal daylight ground wave hours. But what happens during these critical hours when that pesky sky wave might add to the interference? The fact hasn't changed that at 500 watts, everybody was happy. Now, during critical hours, this 742-watt station may cause interference to one or more stations. The FCC says that our station must use the old original daytime level of 500 watts during the critical hours. So, at local sunrise, our 742-watt example can operate at 500 watts, then at local sunrise, plus 2 hours can increase it to 742 watts, then 2 hours before local sunrise, they must kick it back to 500 watts and then to regular night power if authorized. Now, if a daytimer is non-directional, remember they are designated D1, even if they have a CH power. But if a daytimer is non-directional but utilizes a directional pattern during the critical hours, guess what? Drum roll, please. D2. Now, if a daytimer is normally directional, or D3, but uses a separate pattern during CH operation, that's D4. There's one more category for daytimers, D5. That's when a daytime station is directional during daytime hours, but non-directional during CH operation. In reality, there are very few D5 operations, but they do exist, so we must keep track of them. Let's look at some full-time examples. Most of the formerly designated 1A clear channel stations, such as WABC 770 in New York, WGN 720 in Chicago, KMOX 1120 in St. Louis, and KFI 640 in Los Angeles, are 50 kilowatt day and night non-directional. We designate them as being U for unlimited time and 1 for non-directional, and of course their powers are 50,000 watts day and night. Now, say a station is non-directional during the day and directional at night. Since they broadcast day and night, their letter is U and their number is 2, meaning unlimited time directional nights only. If a station is directional all hours using the same power and pattern, their designation is U3. Different patterns day and night with the same power, or same pattern but different power day and night, they're both U4. Okay, so far, let's take another deep breath. We've covered the basic group of 5 daytime only and 4 unlimited time designations. It's when we get into the unlimited time stations with critical hour operations that things get crazy. Unlimited time operation with 3 different patterns, daytime, critical hours, and nights, that's U7. Directional days and critical hours and non-directional nights, that's U13. Unlimited time with the same pattern day and night but a different pattern during CH operation, U17. Well, you get the idea. There's a station in Indiana on 1080 which has applied to operate with one pattern and power level between local sunset and 6 p.m. local time, and another pattern and power level at local sunset in Dallas when WTIC and KRLD switch to their nighttime patterns to protect each other. I'm not sure how we'll handle that one, maybe a U13.5. Okay, if you'll recall, as I report the station status and AM switch, the basic D and U designations are commonly used with no explanation. But when a station uses one of those odd combinations, such as the examples I just gave, I'll stop and interject what the designator means. So, if you'll just remember what D1 through D5 and U1 through U4 mean, that makes my job easier, and we'll get through the column quicker. Well, let's press on to two other categories of operation, namely pre-sunrise and post-sunset. These are commonly referred to as PSRA and PSSA, meaning pre-sunrise authority and post-sunset authority. Now some history. As we all know, medium-wave signals travel greater distances during non-daylight hours. Older established stations that had been on for years were protected from interference both day and night. In other words, new stations were being licensed, but they were authorized as daytime only. Now, in the northern states during the winter months, those stations only operated 7 or 8 hours a day. Many of them complained that they were at a disadvantage when it came to being able to program during the very lucrative drive time hours and to be there during the critical early morning hours when they were needed. So, with the help of their lobbying group, the Daytime Broadcasters Association, they got the FCC to relax the rules, allowing daytime stations to come on at 6 a.m. and or stay on till 6 p.m. local time. Naturally, in the summer months here in North America, those two periods of time are usually blessed with sunshine, so pre-sunrise and post-sunset usually is a factor only in the dark of winter. Okay, so now these daytimers get to come on before sunrise and stay on after sunset, but that means they will most likely cause interference to full-time stations that have been operated during those hours of semi-darkness. So the FCC said to these stations, you can come on at 6 a.m. and stay on until 6 p.m., but at a lower power level before local sunrise and after local sunset. The FCC's rules are very clear in specifying the amount of power permissible during these periods, but interestingly, the calculations must only consider the co-channel stations, not the adjacent channel operations. Today, pre-sunrise authority may be as little as 10 watts, post-sunset power start at 50 watts. Neither operation can exceed 500 watts. Well, Lucille, I certainly hope I've cleared up your question and for anyone else who is unsure of what all those letters and numbers meant. If anyone has questions about anything they hear on any AM switch column, please don't hesitate to ask. Just call in a muse and direct it to me. I want to thank Mark Durenberger, who helped me with a few FCC legalese and technical items. Fred, back to you and the mothership.
Thanks, Bill. Let's turn it over to Ken Onischuk with the second part of the WVON story.
Ben Cooper played the message back a couple of times and smiled. I know people love the station, but this is a first. Asked what disappointed her over the years in struggling to keep WVON going while limited resources, she takes a while to come up with anything. Well, I haven't lost 40 pounds is the best thing she can do on short notice. God has been good, she says. Her 28 employees affectionately call her Boss Lady. Everyone else should be free to call her Melody or Mel. No pretensions for her, except that maybe the diamond on her finger that sparkles like a disco globe in the light. She's been married 10 years to Pierre Cooper, the owner of Coop Records, a family chain. Sometimes I'm amazed we're still together. I haven't cooked for my husband in 4 years. Busy, busy, busy. People think all I make is reservations. She describes herself as a blue jeans and gym shoes type of sister. I've never been a girly girl, yet when it comes time to pose for a photo shoot in connection with the story, Span Cooper calls in her personal makeup artist who transforms her into a glamour woman. It drives her nuts to spend 30 minutes of her crowded day getting made up, but it's worth it, she says. When the public face of WVON is concerned, she does not half-step. There's something vaguely familiar about Span Cooper when you meet her for the first time. She comes around her big brown desk, hand outstretched, wearing a warm smile. She knows what it is. She says people are always telling her she looks that sweet, steely, raptor-turned movie star, Queen Latifah. To confirm this, Melody calls in Bridget Goines, her wisecracking executive assistant. Hey, Boo, who do people say I look like? She says, Whoopi Goldberg. Melody says, are you crazy? Get out of my office. Do you see what I have to put up with around here? WVON, first one on the air, April 1st, 1963, as the civil rights movement was sweeping the country. Although the station was known as the Voice of the Negro, it was owned by two Jewish immigrants from Poland, Leonard and Phil Chess. The brothers started the station as a vehicle to promote their main business, Chess Records, and to showcase Muddy Waters and their other stars. Music dominated WVON then, from the blues to Motown. In those days, the station was on 24 hours a day, and it quickly took off, beginning a 10-year run near the top of the most listened to stations in Chicago. Its popularity was largely due to its all-black lineup of disc jockeys, known as the Good Guys, Franklin McCarthy, E. Rodney Jones, Herb Kent, Purvis Spann, and Wesley South. Over the years, Good Guys and women joined the station, including Don Cornelius, who went on to create and host the Soul Train TV show, Bernardine C. Washington, On the Scene with Bernardine, and Lucky Cordell, the Baron of Bounce, who later became the station's general manager. No place on the dial was as plugged into the wants, worries, and joys of black Chicago. All radios went to VON if anything at all was going on in the black community, he said. In 1969, Leonard Chess died, and his family sold the station to Globetrotter Communications, which moved the station from 1450 to 1390. In 1977, it was sold again, this time to the Gannett Company. Meanwhile, Purvis Spann, Wesley South, and several partners, including the late newspaper columnist Vernon Jarrett, formed Midway Broadcasting Corporation and reacquired 1450. Now it had to share it with a Polish group. Midway took it to the air in 1979 as WXOL. I remember that. The call letters WVON belonged to Gannett, and it wasn't until the mid-1980s that Spann and South got them back and WVON was reborn. In 1986, the station was reinvented again as it went from music to talk. Melody says Chicago is such a great town for talk radio. Corruption, politics, sports, scandals, more corruption. There's always something to talk about. Over the years, South, a former columnist for Chicago's American newspaper, and Spann battled in court for control of WVON, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars along the way. She says Daddy and Mr. South are like oil and water. Spann Cooper tries to keep out of it and even remained at the station after her father was ousted at one point. Over the years, she did the morning traffic, was program director, sold ads, and eventually became South's assistant in running the station. At one point, it looked like an exasperated judge might sell the station to settle the dispute. Instead, the court named Spann Cooper receiver with South's blessings. A few years later, she took complete control of Midway Broadcasting. At 74, Purvis Spann still spins the blues from midnight to 5 a.m. She says, I think Daddy would die if I took him off the air. Not long ago, the blues man wrote the boss lady a letter. He wanted more money. He said she was doing a wonderful job at running the station, but fair is fair. And he hadn't had a vacation in 35 years. He wrote, keep the faith, but give me a raise and some vacation pay. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. She said, that's Purvis. Never stops. I get my entrepreneurial spirit from him. One memorable example of his stamina came in 1964 when the station's DJs competed on the air to see who could stay awake the longest, spinning records, making chit-chat to raise money for the civil rights movement. Listeners contributed nearly $30,000 to the cause, and after 87 straight hours, the blues man was the last jock standing. During the marathon, she was born. Daddy missed my birth trying to win a contest, she says, but it was for a good cause, so I forgive him. Purvis was born and raised in Itabena, Mississippi. As a boy, he got up before the sun rose, climbed in the back of a pickup truck, and went to work in the cotton fields. Some days he picked as much as 500 pounds. His sack was so heavy that the adults had to help him drag it to the scales. In 1949, when he was 17, Spann moved to Gary, Indiana, and quickly got a job in the steel mills. "I wasn't broke when I got there like a lot of people were," he says. "I had $750 in the bank. I had made a pile of money in the cotton fields." A few years after moving north, Spann and his wife, Lovey, were at a nightclub in Chicago and overheard a disc jockey spouting about how much money he was making just by talking. It wasn't long before Spann enrolled in a broadcasting course. "I got to admit I was the worst in the class. Bad grammar, bad diction, bad everything." But he kept at it and landed a job at a small radio station in Oak Park, Illinois. He played blues records, did commercials for local restaurants and taverns. He was on his way. He also started promoting concerts at the old Regal Theater on the South Side and at other venues. He told his four children that they had to work hard, too, in school. It was mandated. "If you were my child, you had to give me a college degree. I had it too hard coming up through that cotton field." Although her family wasn't Catholic, Spann Cooper attended Catholic schools from the primary grades through college, graduating from Loyola University. She converted to the faith in the eighth grade. Attached to the sun visor of her car is a color photograph of Pope John Paul II. She says, "I try to be a good Catholic, but there are some tenets of the church she does not agree with, such as the prohibition on women to become priests." At Loyola, she majored in criminal justice and thought of becoming a lawyer to please her dad. Then one day during her sophomore year, she couldn't get out of her bed without help. Her whole body felt like it was on fire. At 19, without warning, she had been struck with rheumatoid arthritis. "It just came. It was the scariest thing. I thought I was going to die." She had had surgery on her hands and feet because of the arthritis. It also has made her decide not to get pregnant because the powerful drug she was taking to combat the disease would cause birth defects. She said she would like to adopt children. Childhood friend and Loyola graduate Michelle Rowe says, "Rheumatoid arthritis can be very painful. But if you see Melody, she's such a go-getter. It doesn't matter if she's in pain. She never shows it. She never complains." She did complain about having to work at WVON when she was a teenager and her friends were out having fun. Her father first dragged her to the station when she was 14 so he could keep an eye on her. He wasn't happy about some of the neighborhood kids she would hang around with after the nuns dismissed her for the day. He put her to work, answering the phone and taking requests. After a couple of months, she became bored and pleaded with her father to put her on the air. He says she didn't wait for his okay. One night, he got to go up to the bathroom, and when he returned, she was at the microphone. Melody always thinks she can do anything. She's been that way all her life. Eventually, she got her own show, spinning records on Saturday nights. To keep her company, she'd bring girlfriends in, including Stephanie Sylvester. "We brought our boyfriends in a crate of records," Melody played, she says. "Prince, Chaka Khan, Rick James. We loved Rick James, but every fifth song had to be a blues song. That was an order from her father." She gives the orders now, and when things aren't going too well, Spann Cooper isn't too proud to ask for advice. One of her go-to advisors is Kathy Hughes, who owns 70 radio stations across the country. Hughes says, "There are not that many black women who are doing what we do. One of the things I admire about Melody is that she seeks the counsel of others. She continuously seeks knowledge. Radio is a theater of the mind. Melody is running full-fledged plays every day. She hasn't stopped dreaming." Last year, Hughes was in Chicago and visited Melody at the WVON studio, igniting rumors that a sale was in the works. "Nah, no truth to that at all." Spann Cooper says she has no plans to sell the station, but a good businesswoman always has to be willing to listen. "I could never see me selling it to someone outside the African-American community. It means too much to the community and to me." She leans back in her chair and recounts a phone call from a longtime listener. "Sister Melanie, baby, there's a rumor out there on the street that VON is hurting. We can't lose VON. It's our lifeline, sister. If you need help, baby, just ask the family. We'll do anything to keep the station alive." She just shakes her head. "Everywhere I go, people ask, are you okay? Oh, I'm better than okay. Every year, VON does it better. Right now, though, she's busy to worry about rumors and gossip. Just too busy. She has a future to plan. And when the time comes in a few months, God and the permit issuers at the city building department willing, movers will arrive in the shabby little building on South Kedzie to haul away office supplies, equipment, LPs, CDs, tapes, photographs, files, poster Mayor Harold Washington, and deliver everything to the shiny new home of WVON. Finishing, Span Cooper is sure it will be bittersweet parting. When people come here, they'll say, "What a dump," she says. "It is, but I'm going to miss it." Some new things she intends to carry to the new place herself. Her memories, Fletcher the office cat, and the frame words of Maya Angelou that just hang outside her office door. "And still I rise." And for the DX Audio Service, Ken Anischuk reporting.
Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. And before we roll out of here, I wonder if you've found Fred yet. If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to Side 2 of DXAS for June, the We're Talking Radio column.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son. When his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gather around the pub talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. Through the backyard we'd go walking, and he'd look into my eyes. Taking time.